Often, when I listen to this scripture, my first thought goes to Mary and Joseph. Oh my goodness, what must they have been thinking? How did they handle? That was about 4 to 5 days before they found Jesus in the temple. But this morning, I want us to do something different. As we are gathered here this morning in worship, whether online or here in the sanctuary, our numbers are less. It's what we call one of those low times when the sanctuaries aren't quite as full and the conversations might be a little bit more intimate. Jesus had been in the temple at 12 years old with his parents and everybody at the festival of Passover. And then everybody got up to leave. And this is what I imagine happened with Jesus. Jesus was so excited. He was sitting there asking questions of the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests and getting into these long discussions that they were amazed that this 12-year-old could have these kind of conversations. And he lost all track of time. He was exactly where he wanted to be. And I can tell you, it's like after Christmas Eve when everyone goes home and I'm in the midst of turning down the lights, the time in the sanctuary by myself is a sacred conversation with the Lord and I. So imagine Jesus in his Father's house with everyone gone except for maybe those few priests that were there to have that conversation. And Jesus was like, this is where I belong. Luke wants to remind us that the temple is important to Jesus. We have him 8 days later in the temple being circumcised. We have him here at 12 in the temple with all the priests and having these great conversations. Jesus continually returns to the temple to speak to the scribes and the Pharisees, to talk to those who are worshiping there, the crowds in there. He turns the tables in the temples because he's upset with how they treat the Lord's house. The temple, that place where we worship the Lord, is important to Jesus. So important that there at the age of 12, he's just, we could say, in heaven, because he's there with God and those who can speak to him about things of God. But he has an earthly family. And I always remember this one particular time with my earthly family that I thought Nathan was lost. We were in this small mall in San Clemente, California, and the grocery store was right next door, and I think we were doing maybe some Christmas shopping. I can't really remember the time of year, but we were in the specialty shops, and he knew we were going grocery shopping. He just headed to the grocery store, and suddenly we didn't have him. And it was a panic for maybe 10 to 15 minutes when we got in the grocery store. Someone had already found him and was looking for his parents. And, you know, I could breathe once again. And that was only 15 minutes or so. Can you imagine 4 days? 4 or 5 days. And probably what happened for Mary and Joseph was these were extended families in a caravan. And as we were talking at 8:30 this morning, remember when we'd all go outside and play? And not just one mom, but everybody's mom took care of everybody. So we didn't have to worry too much about what our children were doing because we knew every neighborhood mom or dad was keeping an eye on them. Well, that's sort of like these caravans, this extended family. So they may have assumed that Jesus was somewhere along the line, either with some cousins, some brothers, some distant relatives, just enjoying the trip home. And when they realized whatever meal they'd stopped for, he wasn't there for dinner, they began that search through that caravan. Where is our child? And when they couldn't find him a day out, they decided to go back to Jerusalem to seek him out. So where did they search for 3 days? You know, my thought would have been, why didn't they start at the temple? Why didn't they assume Jesus would be in the temple? But they searched other places. We don't know where they went looking. They probably didn't have the same level of police surveillance that we have today. Luckily they didn't have cell phones. But they didn't have any way of tracking him. Until they finally think of the temple. So Luke is reminding us here, in this moment, when Jesus encounters his earthly family in the temple, that Jesus' family is a lot different than we think it is. And he's reminding his earthly family that his life is a lot different than they think it is. When his mother scolds him, and I probably would have used stronger language, scolds him, "Why have you treated us like this? Why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." Can you imagine what her voice really must have sounded like? I imagine it wasn't, "Why have you treated us like this?" It must have been like, "Why have you treated us like this?" You know, because of the fear and the anxiety just building up inside of her and finally getting her hands on her 12-year-old son. She was just so overjoyed, but so filled still with that panic that it may have come out a little bit angry at him. And his response may not have helped too much when he says, "Why were you searching for me?" Doesn't that sound like a really odd question? Why were you searching for me? "Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" Luke is reminding us, and in the midst of the story, Joseph and Mary being reminded that Jesus isn't just of a biological earthly family. Jesus is also Son of God. And that his house, he's kind of moved out of his family house to his father's house, because this is the house in which he's been called to serve and called to change the world through. So consider with me how for maybe these 12 years after the big announcement that we had just two nights ago, about who Jesus was and the shepherds and all of that glory, 12 years had passed. And Mary and Joseph may have been seeing Jesus just as their 12-year-old boy. And then he disappeared and they find him in the temple. And suddenly they're reminded that Jesus is more than just their 12-year-old boy. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is the one destined for the transformation of the world through love. So they may have been taken aback by his response, but what Luke tells us is that his mother treasured all these things in her heart, which is very similar to what we heard in the beginnings of Luke, that Mary ponders all these things in her heart. She once again remembered who the baby was, but now who the 12-year-old might have been towering over her, who that 12-year-old is. He's not just hers. He's the world's. He's God's own son. It says that when he went back to Nazareth, he was obedient to his family. But it says that Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. I titled the sermon, "Found But Never Really Lost." Jesus was never really lost. He was where he needed to be, where he wanted to be, where his father wanted him to be. And he was found by his family there in God's presence. So I wanted to think about us in those times when we feel lost, when we feel out of control, when we feel like the chaos of the world has taken over us, when we feel like God has abandoned us, when we feel that lost, we're never really lost. God is with us. And if we just turn around and look, we'll see God there by our side. There are many people right now who are lost and don't even recognize that God is with them. There are many people right now, whether they're lost in their grief, lost in unemployment, lost in the rages of COVID or whatever disease that is just devastating their body, or there are families that are lost in the devastation of earthquakes, of fires, of floods, of tornadoes. There are families that are lost and need to know that they have been found by the one who can bring them comfort, who can bring them peace, who can bring them love, who can bring them hope. In Sunday school this morning, Tim kept reminding the class that I keep reminding them that God has not given up on us, and God will never give up on us. That God is always seeking us. We've never really been lost, but sometimes we need to be found. This week, my charge for you is, if you are one who is lost, is that you spend some time in prayer and allow yourself to be found. And if you are someone who's been found, seek out those who are lost and share your story. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.